Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for between 50 and 55 minutes today. I'm excited. Can't you tell? And here's one of the reasons. It's back. Christmas Carol is back at the Berkshire Theater Group. And the wonderful people you see on the screen with me, they're part of it. And we were just talking off air. It has become a tradition. And not only for me, but for so many people last season, last Christmas, they were so disappointed because now we have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And we have to continue traditions. Now, I will just go with this, a very personal thing. My wife is Polish. They have a tradition they call Vigilia. It's Christmas Eve celebration. The family comes together for Christmas Eve. And, you know, it was always done by my in-laws and then my sister-in-law. And then my wife picked it up. And it really is a tradition that we want to carry on. And I hope that these, especially you, Julia, because you're young. Campbell, you can fit in there, too. David,
yeah, you and me. Right,
David, obviously your white hair is giving you away. But keep the tradition going.
This is all dyed.
Oh. I just shaved mine off because my brother passed from prostate cancer, so no shave November. And everybody's we got gray. It's not gray. It's blonde.
Ah.
Yeah.
I just had to shave mine off.
Yeah. Without further ado, I'm just going to have David Atkins. Everybody knows he's star of stage, screen, TV. He walks down the street, people fall all over. Campbell, give us a little bit of your background, please.
Oh, okay. I actually grew up here, got into theater in the Berkshires, and then I moved away. I studied over at the Bristol Old Vic Theater School in England.
Oh, wow.
Came back. Toured around, did some regional theater, ended up in New York, and worked my way up to off-Broadway before having two beautiful kids who are now going off to college.
Yay!
Yeah, well.
And I'm getting back into theater again.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. And quickly, I was stationed in the UK. I always remember Covent Garden at Christmas time in London.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, if David give me some money, I'd go back.
Okay, you got it,
Julia. Tell us about you, Julianne. Tell us about yourself.
Sure. I'm also born and raised in Pittsfield. I started doing theater all the way back in 2013 when I was 6 years old with Berkshire Theater Group, and I've been with them ever since. I started doing Christmas Carol 11 years ago. I played Tiny Tim my first year. And this is my ninth run of the show. I've been doing theater my entire life, and now I'm studying acting at the Savannah College of Art and Design in Georgia.
Wow, that's excellent. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow. Oh, this is super. This is going to be such a good show. Tell us, Christmas Carol. Now, there's only one kind of an exception. We're going to tell you and tell you and tell you till your head falls off. It's at the Unicorn this year.
That's right.
Not the big Colonial, the Unicorn. And I have to tell you, David, I saw you in the...
Metamorphosis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let me go backstage. In fact, I was escorted off the grounds. But
but did you get a swim in?
I tried to, yes, but they had a rule about suits.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah. The Unicorn, I think, is more intimate.
It sure is.
I mean, I'm struggling to find time to get down there and see it because I always loved it at the Colonial.
Sure.
Also, the Unicorn, as I said, you're almost part of it. In Metamorphosis, that was definitely the case.
For sure. Yeah, it's such a beautiful space. It really lends itself to, as you say, the intimacy that the audience really does get a very close view of all of the actors. They feel almost as if they're in the action. It's really one of my favorite theaters. And it's also very versatile. We're able to do so many things with it. I mean, for Metamorphosis, which
And
was
for the
directed,
bowl.
I know, which was directed by Isadora Wolf, who is also one of the directors of this show with me. We had a pool on stage. So it's kind of extraordinary that that space can be so versatile and yet still so intimate. The fun fact here is that stage is as wide as the Colonial.
Now, I never would have guessed that.
That's right. Of course, the Colonial, the house, is so much larger, but it really is a space that, besides its versatility, designers love it as well because the sound and the lights
Oh.
are just extraordinary.
It's
As it
no
was for Metamorphosis.
it was an we love, and you're gonna think I'm nuts. Well, no, I'm nuts. They just met me.
I do.
I like
Jury's out.
sitting in the back row, the very back,
Yeah.
because you can see the whole thing. And you cannot, I'm also a people watcher.
For sure. For sure.
And I watch how the people lean. When I see someone leaning forward, that tells me they're engaged.
Absolutely. And it's funny, we have people call the box office, and there are those who want to sit in the back, and there are those who want to sit in the front row or the
Oh, I
first
know.
two rows because they really like to be up close. I love those back seats, the back two rows, because they're so elevated that you really get a kind of overview of the whole set, and you can really take in the whole atmosphere. So it's really a wonderful, wonderful space.
Please, folks, if you have grandchildren or great grandchildren, or your own children, start the tradition. Bring them to this. It's just something that I brought my son to every year, and we talk about it now, and he's 49. I don't look it. I just had my
Can't be.
for the show. But what part are you playing, Campbell?
I am playing Bob Cratchit, Tiny
Oh,
Tim's dad.
yeah. Wow. That's terrific. And Juliana?
I'm in my third year playing Mary Dickens, the narrator.
Hey,
That's, I
she's
read
fantastic.
that.
Juliana, how many parts have you played?
I have played four different parts, I guess. I started as Tiny Tim, then I was in the chorus, and then I played Ghost of Christmas Past for 3 years, and now I'm in my third year playing Mary Dickens.
Oh, wow. Aren't
You
you?
know, Bill, it's really it's you're saying it's a tradition. It's also a tradition for many of our actors who come
Absolutely.
back year after year. Juliana, of course, is in college and was unable to be at the first rehearsals, the first 10 days of rehearsal, but we're able to work around a situation like that. When we didn't do Christmas Carol, this is our third year in the Unicorn now. People were really upset that we weren't doing it exactly. And people would call the box office expecting to be able to get tickets for the show without even looking on the website. And so we knew we had to bring it back. And we found that bringing it to the Unicorn was a wonderful answer. And so we're back to the tradition. The thing about this play is that it's a great holiday play because the message is so universal. And especially in these very dark times, sometimes it feels like dark times. And we visit a world that Dickens creates, which is a dark world, and yet we see that people continue to be able to have hope. and find joy at this time of the season. So it's really a wonderful story. You know, another fun fact is Dickens went he his one of his inspirations for this play was that he visited what we would today call a homeless shelter, and he saw the way that people were being treated. And so he really wanted to write a play that included a message about the poor. And in 2023, you know, we had 13 million children in this year who were considered food insecure. So, and we know with everything that's been happening recently, that our communities have come together and tried to do what they can. And it's a play like Christmas Carol that really embodies all of that beautiful spirit that we can all have in our community. So it's really wonderful to be able to put this on for everyone.
And it's needed. We are fast paced, wham bam, you know, slam dam culture now that needs to slow down and assess what's going on in their lives, and is it worth it? You
Right.
know, I will share, and then one of I was in Vietnam for Christmas. And this sounds crazy, but on Christmas Eve, I was sitting just in a position, and I all of a sudden I remembered Christmas Carol,
Yeah.
the movie,
Right.
right? And
Which
I
one?
geez, I don't know, the one with the old guy in it, and not the other old guy, but and I thought, what a hell of a dichotomy this is, you
For
know.
sure.
But it still, I was still happy to remember it was Christmas.
Well, it's absolutely, and it's such a joyful show. There's so much humor in it, that it really gladdens the heart, as they say. People are really, really respond to it in such a beautiful and generous way. You know, when you come to the theater, we have carolers out front singing carols. Every year, I get an email or two or 10 that say, "Thank you for having the carolers outside. We miss having."
Another lost art.
Exactly. And so the experience, the whole Christmas Carol experience begins from the parking lot. And it's just so wonderful that we have so many people who return to do the show. And every year we have people who are new, we have Juliana, who's been in it for years, and we have Campbell, who is doing it for the first time this year. So, it's really a joyful and fun show.
Yeah, I
And
have to
we
say
were.
when I walked in on that first rehearsal, and they asked the new people to raise their hands, and there were so few, I really got the sense that I was stepping into a tradition. It was very much like a family. And David and Isadora have done a wonderful job of making it feel that way for all of the new people.
Oh, good.
It's been a great experience so far.
I will also, I'm sorry, go ahead, Juliana.
I was just gonna say, like, especially for me, it even goes like beyond tradition because I was so young when I started doing it. Now, like, watching it come to life every year, it's literally like my memories are coming to life. And I get to see, like, you know, the little kids who are now coming up through it. And, you know, that used to be me. So that's like a really gratifying part of it is like growing with the show. And like some things stay the same and some things change each year. And
It's so funny. It's so funny, Bill, because my first year working on the show, I co-directed with Eric Hill, who's done this brilliant adaptation. And it was funny because so many people would speak to me. They would say, "Well, you know, what happens is this and that," and I had to keep saying, I don't know the show as well as most of you.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really a newbie, and it's funny. We have kids right now who know all the words
Oh, yeah.
in the show. You can watch them mouthing the words in the wings. It's really extraordinary.
I saw it last night.
What's
Yeah.
that?
Or the night
But he
before.
saw it last night.
Yeah.
It's been that way
Well,
forever. Like, ever since I started doing it, like, every kid knew every role.
yeah.
Like, any person could go on for any person at any time. Like, we had kids filling in for Scrooge and Old Joe, and that was always just like the fun of it, that it was less of like part by part and more like
Yeah.
everyone knew the entire thing.
Anna Casella, I remember her as a little girl in that, and I have, and when you, what is she? She's graduated from college now. She's, you all are making memories for yourselves, but let me share this. You're making memories for people like me who are just over 21. By about 70 years, but here's the thing: when you stop and think of the memories, here's another memory: the Sensory Friendly Show. I don't know if they're still doing that.
Here we are.
So I'm sitting there with the Polish princess, that's my wife, and behind us is a and a child was a little jumpy and mumpy and. And the mom said, "No, you'll be fine. It'll be fine." And then the guy came out and said, "You know the lamplighter, right? The scary parts."
Yeah.
So all through the show, "Mommy, mommy, scary guy, scary guy." "That's okay. Settle down." This child had autism. At the end, and this is important for you all to know. In the end, I heard the mother sobbing. And I said, "Are you okay?" She said, "I have never seen him this happy." That's the power of theater.
That's wonderful. We,
Yeah,
you
and
know,
I
yeah.
try to share that every year with the actors, because that insignificant little guy walking out with the lamplighter there, or I don't know what you're using this year, but when he was, "Mommy, mommy, scary guy, scary guy," and she would just kind of, "That's okay." And he went right on, but then to see her emotions that he was that happy. And I say that not only for the actors, I say that for all of you in the audience. Theater has a wonderful gift if it's done well. And I've never seen Christmas Carol not done well, ever. So.
Sure. Well, Juliana, I think you're going to be raising the candle this year, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm the one who alerts about the scary portions of the show.
Out there in the audience, someone's going, "Scary
Yeah.
girl, scary girl."
Yeah. And I feel like that's the thing that like BTG as a whole, not just in Christmas Carol, has done well for as long as I've grown up with the theater, is like making theater, not just from an audience standpoint, but also from like a performer's standpoint, really accessible. Like, it's such a privilege that like kids and people with
Disabilities.
disabilities or learning differences can do
Yes.
theater through BTG.
Yes. Through the years, I've seen it, and that's one of the reasons I support BTG, because they don't exclude anyone from the audience, nor do they exclude anyone from the stage.
That's true.
Exactly.
We have such a beautiful group every year from all parts of this county,
Yeah.
really. It's really a wonderful thing. You know, the hardest part for me are the auditions when we have so many people who come out. And we were able to have larger casts, I guess, Juliana, when it was in the Colonial. So
Right.
that's one thing we really miss. But you know, we really are able to bring people from all parts of our community into the theater for productions, like Matilda Jr. we did,
Oh,
and for
yeah.
Frozen and Moana, where we have upwards of 50 cast members on stage. And people really really, you know, I every couple of months, particularly when we're doing these productions, I get emails from parents saying, "Thank you for doing this because I have watched my child grow and enjoy the process of theater, and it has helped them blossom into you know, finding a place and finding a home in our theater." And
Isn't that wonderful?
it is wonderful. And the whole thing about theater, you know, I often say, for people who don't necessarily know what theater is all about, I'll say, you know, being in a cast is practically, it has a lot of similarities to being on a team sport, because what we do is work, it's teamwork, it's dedication, it's along with communication skills and reading skills and everything else, and then it's fun.
And
Yeah, and you
discipline.
have each other one's everyone has each other's back. If somebody stumbles, you're there to pick up the slack, and they, you know, they help you. It's fantastic. It always feels like a family, or like you've gone through the trenches. You always have a long-term relationship with everyone you've ever done a show with.
And
And you
it
have
forges.
discipline. It has
Yeah, that too.
and I've had to on occasion defend the theater camps and various educational institutions, let's put it that way, to be kind. And when you have to tell people who are supposedly learned, you don't know what theater brings to people. It brings discipline. It brings teamwork. It brings self-fulfillment. Quick story. Young girl, when I first started this program at Taconic High School, I didn't start it, somebody else started it, I filled in. I had a young lady who come on the show, and she said, when I came to Taconic, I was a wallflower. And she that was what she called herself. And she said her friends teased her and got her into Shakespeare, because Shakespeare would do Taconic.
That's right.
And she got her, but backstage, she said, I was only back. I go, I couldn't get on stage. Well, they wangled her into a initially non-speaking part. And then the next thing, she did a speaking part. And she said on air, if I hadn't done the Shakespearean play, or the play itself, the drama club, I would not have been able to come on this program.
I
That's
had the same experience as a kid. I was incredibly shy. I mumbled everything all the way to my sophomore year of high school. And my mom saw I wanted to do a show. She got me in over the summer with a program similar to what BTG does for young actors. And I fell in love with it. They got me out of my shell. And then I was a nut on stage after that.
And
I
still
haven't
are.
looked back.
Still are. There you go. Bobby Cratchit. Went to high school with him.
Love a
But
Cratchit.
we got to give some times and date. What are the show times?
So they're usually at, I actually brought a calendar. We're opening this weekend,
That's.
and all of the shows are, a lot of the shows are at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And however, on Sunday the 7th, we have performances at 12 p.m. and 5 p.m.
Oh, wonderful.
So, and the reason we sometimes, you know, change the times is that there are some people who would rather come earlier
Yes.
than later. It's as simple as that. And then we're also doing some student matinees at
Oh,
10 a.m.,
good.
which is fun. But most of the shows are at 7 p.m. You can
Good.
check the website, go on the website and find out. And look at the times and see what works for you.
I think that's wonderful. And again, how long is the run? How long?
We close on the 21st.
Okay, the 21st. So you don't have a lot of time. You don't have a lot of time. And again, the show duration, how long is the duration of the show?
It's about 2 hours. with
About
intermittent.
2 hours. Okay.
Yeah, with
Yeah,
the intermission, it goes quickly.
yeah.
It
Oh, I'll bet.
it's actually shorter than that, but I mean, by the time you get out of your car and get back into your car, 2 hours.
And all I'm saying, folks, again, and I repeat myself, but when you get to be my age, you can repeat yourself too. You'll be lucky if you remember what you said in the first place. But
Exactly. Yeah.
the experience of a child going to this for the first time, I promise you, will leave you in awe. I mean, it has me. And again, I think back on all the kids that I have seen go through it, now adults, and were so disappointed that they couldn't take their little kids at the times that they didn't do it. So it's back. It's back with a vengeance. We got, look at the actors you got. What did you, Campbell, what did you find? And these are questions that people have asked me over the years to ask. What was the hardest part about preparing for your role?
I didn't even think about that. I've been
Okay.
preparing my whole life in some ways. So
Okay.
it's for me, I think it is just finding that space and rhythm with your fellow actors. That always takes a little bit of time. My cast members are fantastic. The kids with me, Betsy, Mason, Carmela, and Evelyn are fantastic. Kate Goble is playing my wife. They're just all incredibly talented and a lot of fun. So I can't really say there's been anything that's been difficult about this. It's just so much
Okay.
fun.
Good. Well, there's well, then the better question might be, how do you prepare for the role? You're pulling out of, you're no longer Campbell, you're Bob Cratchit.
I think it's for me, it's about finding those commonalities, those personality traits within myself, and just putting myself in that mindset. I step in there and I try to think as Bob Cratchit, and then the lines and my reactions to the things my castmates do come out of that empathetic link to the character. I don't know, without sounding too,
No, but
artsy-fartsy.
no, I think you're being very candid. I really do. And Juliana, you've been doing this as you put in your different roles. I mean, Tiny Tim, how did you prepare for, well, you weren't that much bigger than Tiny Tim. How did you?
Well, I feel like for, each year when I come back, since I know like the show so well, when I first did Tiny Tim, it was like all new to me. But I felt that I like fell into it very quickly, because of like all of the veterans that were around me. And I think the first year that I got to step into the narrator, it was daunting in like a different way, because I do know the show so well. So it was less so like preparation on a technical, like lines and staging in that type of way, and more of like, how can I bring like myself to the role, something different. And like, I think that's something I've been trying to build on each year, is
That's
like,
great.
yeah,
Actually,
keeping
I
the
had a
role like,
question for you, Juliana,
sure.
because you're the narrator. So you don't really get to directly interact with the rest of the cast all that much, as you're always communicating with the audience. I mean, how does that feel?
It's honestly really cool, because I kind of have
Yeah.
this like omniscient position, because I'm like telling the story. And since, now that it's in the unicorn, it feels really personal, because I can like look at each one of the audience members. And I like to think of my character, Mary Dickens, as like someone who's heard this story word for word her entire life, and now she's just so excited to be t telling it herself. And I think I try to also stay invested in the stories of each character, especially in Scrooge. Like, I'm not directly interacting with him, but I'm telling his story and I'm telling the entire story. So I try to keep my character invested to try and like keep it connected.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's really to me, that's a wonderful what, yes, you want to portray the character, but what twist can I give to it?
Exactly.
Oh, cool. Now, let me
It's
ask this newbie here. So, David,
yes.
when you start a role, do you try to put a twist of your own self in it?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's funny for me, the minute I read a role, I kind of know how I'm going to approach it. I think as an actor, you're always bringing yourself to it. I do not actively say, how am I going to do this differently than anyone else ever has before? I don't ask that question. When I bring myself, I think when an actor brings themselves to the role, that happens. Because we are all so different as people that right off the bat, you're going to be bringing something new to the role. So, for instance, when you have someone stepping in for Scrooge, as an understudy, for instance, you have the same Scrooge, but because you have a different actor, it feels completely different. So it's really wonderful to watch that happen. And that's been something that's been really wonderful for me as a director, is to have different people step in another year, have a new actor that brings a whole new flavor, so to speak, to the process and to the show itself. And it's not that it's necessary that it's better. It's just that it's different, and it keeps the energy always shifting within the show. One thing that's really interesting, one reason this is a joy to work on as a director, is because the director, Isadora, and I get a chance to work with people at all different levels. So that when we work with an actor, we work with the more experienced ones in a different way than we do with some of the youngers who haven't
You're
necessarily
grooming
even
your,
been on stage before.
yeah.
Yes.
Well, you're grooming. You're teaching. You're grooming. And I, to me, to work with people like yourself, the three of you, and I gotta give credit to my girlfriend, Kathy Jo Grover. Don't tell anybody. And Michael, it some of these kids really don't fully comprehend how lucky they are to be learning with all of you. And I mean that because I have the greatest respect for David. I bust him all the time, but if I didn't, he wouldn't think I liked him.
That's
Got
true.
to take a break. Please stay tuned. There's more to come. I'm going to give you some telephone numbers. For those who thought I wasn't paying attention, I was trying to get the telephone numbers. So we'll give those when you come back. And I know, again, I repeat myself, don't miss this opportunity. I learned in Vietnam, no one's promised tomorrow. So if you're a grandparent, especially, take your grandchildren, enjoy it yourself. It'll bring back memories of days long gone by, as they say. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. And what, just so you know now, we are broadcasting this program live on 88.1 FM in Southern Berkshire. So, if you live down there in the Southern Berkshires, you can listen to us. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Lots more to come.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Greetings, this is John Pollock, host of The Jazz Train, which comes your way every Saturday night from 10 to 11:30. The Jazz Train generally features music recorded on a particular calendar date in years past and provides relevant commentary and discographical details. So why not join me for a ride on The Jazz Train for a weekly musical adventure, coming to you on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We are back. In case you don't know, Christmas Carol is alive and well and being performed. It's a unicorn in Stockbridge. And I can't tell you how excited I am that the unicorn is back and being performed at the Unicorn in Stockbridge. And I'll tell you why. Well, the Colonial's beautiful, and it is beautiful. Sometimes I think I upset actors because I go in there and find myself just gazing up at the ceiling because it's a breathtaking building. And but the Unicorn is intimate. And for a play, I think like Christmas Carol, an intimate theater is more accommodating. That's just me. And by the way, in case you forgot, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine. Those are my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Committee, the Pittsfield School Department, the mayor of the city of Pittsfield's office, or the mayor himself, Peter Marchetti, or Peter White, the chairperson of the city council, or lastly, the person riding south in the northbound bicycle lane on North Street. So, but it is a beautiful theater.
It's also wonderful for the actors. I mean, I'd be curious for Campbell. Is this your first time in the Unicorn?
Yeah, absolutely. Great. The acoustics are great. The intimacy, having the audience right there. It's sort of like telling a story in your living room.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really nice to have that connection with the audience. And I think the audiences love it too. And yet they're still spectacle. I mean, our designers have done such a beautiful job with the lights and the sound and the costuming. I mean, it's really, the spectacle is still there. You're really transported back to the Victorian era and you feel immersed into the action of the play because this theater is just so immersive.
I thought it was my sideburns transporting us back to the big.
Yeah, well, those two, they're very becoming, yeah.
Lamb chops are going to be back in, Campbell, just because you've got them.
That's right. You're starting a new wave.
1870 or 1970, I can't tell.
I also think, too, that we, the old classics, you know, there's a lot to be said about this and about that and what books and what this and that you shouldn't read Catcher in the Rye. I don't know why not, but maybe there's a swear word in there. Oh, my, no. But anyhow,
I think so.
But what it does to me, it brings back my youth, the stuff we had to read in literature. And it really was back then. Literature,
right?
not gobbledygook, but and to see young people acting these parts. What, Juliana? When you first started doing this, what was your familiarization with
Victorian England.
I mean, at that point, it was my only historical knowledge of Victorian England. I didn't know anything else about it because I was in third grade when I started. But I think the attention to detail on like the period and remaining historically accurate is also like a big part that like as an actor, but I'm sure also as an audience member, like transports you to the time of the play.
I'm thinking as an old guy, obviously I am old, that I had the great experience, and I mentioned it earlier, to be in the UK in Covent Garden. I have a wonderful Cockney accent. I had to use it in the bar so people didn't know I was American.
You're going to have to be in our play, Bill.
Yeah.
No, you don't want me. Trust me. But but to see London and that particular part of London at Christmas, I'll never ever forget it. I've always wanted to go back. I don't see that in my immediate future, but it was just it brought in when I was there. I thought of Christmas Carol.
Wow. Of course.
It was just alive. So, and again, to people, it will give you another era, your kiddos another era, another taste of life in a different time.
For sure. It's the historical value and the history is really wonderful to be a part of, especially in that theater. You feel like you're sitting right in London. And it's true. You know, Dickens, after he wrote the story, which was a hit, so to speak.
Yeah.
He also went around and made lots of money just reading the story to people. Oh. He would fill halls reading the story. And but yes, the historical nature of it is addressed to some extent in rehearsal. For instance, I gave a note yesterday. You know, in that period, people often they didn't touch one another very much. They wouldn't necessarily slap someone on the back, especially depending on which class you were in. And so we'll mention that. Let's refrain from that because we are in a different period. So, and that of course is reflected for the audience and it adds to them feeling like they're in that era.
I also think that like, even though the play is set in a different time, like the themes and the message and the relationships still ring so true to today. Like I see, you know, relationships in my own life kind of mirrored in the show, which I think is really special.
Yeah, it's really it's a family show.
Yes,
because in a way, it's about a family at its core, and it's about a family that is, you know, they have tough times, but they also have each other. And that's really what fills the heart, so to speak,
yes,
for all of us, those in it and those who come to watch.
Yeah,
especially in this time where people, family members don't talk to family members because they voted for the wrong person.
That's true.
I've said this on air. I just have gone through this with a friend's son. And I had to he's my age. There's no guarantee I'm going to be here next Thanksgiving. Oh, by the way, there's no guarantee you're going to be here next Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So my Irish mother, God rest her soul, saintly, let me rephrase that. My saintly Irish mother had a saying, nothing comes before or above family. Yeah. And that message that you reinforces that family is everything. Before we continue, get your tickets. Start calling today. There are people in the box office. I walked by them. They weren't doing a lot. No, I'm only kidding. 413-997-4444. Call. Get your tickets now. Get your tickets now, please. The Unicorn, while it's intimate and lovely, it's not the Colonial. There's not 800 seats. And I don't want you to miss this. I really don't want you to miss this. If you knew the backstory of getting this program, you'd have a hairstyle like me. This is a good lesson for people too. I want the adults who go to this, sit there and look at a family in strife, a family with a handicapped child, a family who worried about the next meal, quite honestly. And people come together to help them. And I'd like to think that us out there, you know, for some people, this is going to be a lean and mean Christmas unless we help them.
That's right.
And
yeah.
Food pantries are desperate. And please donate. Please, I don't care what you donate, but make sure it's something that somebody can take and use. And nourishment. I've been hungry, not as a kid or growing up here, but I've been hungry. And boy,
it's no fun.
Anything you can do to help, and it is that season. Whether it's Advent or Hanukkah, just give.
This holiday season, it really is about the spirit of coming together as a community.
Yes.
And helping each other. And of course, Christmas Carol embodies that. But, you know, there's a food pantry out in front of, across the street from the Colonial. And,
right.
And we watch our friendly police officers of Pittsfield direct traffic because there's so much activity.
Yeah, so much.
And BTG has been instrumental in helping with,
yes, they have,
the food drive as well. And we have our our own donation going on here, yes, from the theater.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a beautiful story about a family and a community that comes together and embodying the holiday spirit. And I think people really leave feeling rejuvenated from seeing the show.
I do too. I've never left there without a bounce in my step.
Sure. Really.
And I've seen it probably too many times. But now who's, I have to ask, who's playing my buddy? The person a lot of people call me, David.
E. Gray Simons, you mean? Scrooge?
How do you know?
Well, you know, you could understudy if you'd like, Bill.
Wow.
We'd be happy to have... You wouldn't need much rehearsal.
No. Not for the Scrooge part.
No. Just growl a lot.
I had open heart surgery. I used to carry the picture that the doctor took of my heart around, because people that work said, you don't even have a heart. And I'd show them my picture. So there you go. But
yes, E. Gray Simons III.
Oh, wow.
I actually don't remember how many times he has played Scrooge. He's
wonderful.
It's certainly more than a handful of times.
Oh, sure.
And he's also played many of the other roles as well. So we feel really lucky and privileged that Gray is with us once again.
I was going to say, growing up through Christmas Carol, he was always our Dickens.
Oh,
so I kind of took his portrayal as like a lot of inspiration for what I do in my Dickens.
Well, this is what I missed.
Yeah, you should tell him that. Because, please, you know what? Because I like David, he's in this field. If somebody say, you know, you taught me this in a training program, say, that I did years ago, that makes, and it really worked out well for me, that makes me feel great that somebody, that I gave somebody a step up, because I'm a big person on lifting people, not putting them down. It's really easy to put other people down, but to make you feel good. But I find it much more rewarding to lift other people up and share.
You know, that's really what theater does for the kids, especially who come into our program. The experiences they have with us in these shows, I can say that they will never forget the experience.
I agree.
And, you know, it's really wonderful to watch people like Juliana go off to college and thrive. And of course, to have her come back is really a joy. And then last night, you know, during the big snowstorm, we couldn't have rehearsal. So we had rehearsal on Zoom.
Oh, cool.
And right in the middle of it, we lost our Bob Cratchit, only to have him come back and say that his daughter, Lauren Bridges, had gotten into Boston University.
Boston College.
Wow. Boston College, I mean, sorry.
Go Eagles.
And yes, that's right. And
just look that up.
And it really was a joy. And I got to see a very proud father.
Well,
who,
absolutely.
You also see those genuine feelings as Bob Cratchit. So I'm sure he'll use some of that as his preparation for the role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was very genuine. I was glad you gave me 5 minutes to get composed again. I needed it.
We're very proud of her.
I am.
And I have to tell you, this young lady right here, Juliana, you guys in BTG, you have raised this young lady to be the performer that she is.
Absolutely.
With a whole future ahead of her. And I let me just make this to the other folks out there, the listeners and the viewers. They have a wonderful education program at BTG. And once a year, I work with a whole group of people to do a Michael Fabrizio concert to raise money for this youth program. And I would just ask you in this Christmas season, and I know money's tight and everything's tight, but look at this young lady. Look at her. If you can, send a check to Berkshire Theater Group in the Memo Youth Program. And they don't care. It can be $5. It can be $1. Or it can be a couple hundred. Whatever you got. So
yeah,
this program is so important. Go ahead.
I'll say I owe so much of who I am and, you know, where my life is headed to the BTG education program. I feel so like immensely privileged that I've been able to grow up doing theater at such a high level. And now it's like the foundation that I'm building the rest of my creative career on. And now I get to study in college and continue to build on it. And I'm so lucky to come back every year. So yeah, I owe so much of who I am to BTG.
And you are a tribute, a living tribute to BTG. And I mean that from my heart. And when you're successful in the big world, if you get a call saying there's some old fat bald guy calling and wants free tickets, it'll be me.
Okay? Absolutely.
I'm on a retirement income that's shrinking. Please, David, one more time about the times.
Okay. So we open this weekend. Our first performance is the 6th. And that's at 2 and 7. We have opening night, actually, sorry, is the 5th. I unfortunately need to put my glasses on. We have a preview on the 4th, opening night on the 5th, and then this weekend on the 6th. we have a matinee and a 7 o'clock performance. All those evening performances are at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
On Sunday the 7th, that is, we have a 12 p.m. and 5 p.m.
Okay.
So this weekend we start on the 4th, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday we have matinees and evening shows. And then we're off on Mondays. And then we have a show the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and we run all the way through the 21st.
Now, let the old fat ball guy just say this. Do not procrastinate. Order your tickets today, and you can do so by calling 413-997-4444 and get your tickets, please and thank you, because the Unicorn's not a lot. It's significant, but it's not large like the Colonial. And I want you to, and remember, please, grandkids, old enough to understand it and sit for a while. That's my only thing. And if you know what, if you got to get up and go out for 5 minutes, that I don't think it's going to disrupt this crew, because
nope.
You have seasoned actors and you have kiddo actors who are going to go, that's what my brother do. No, that I've seen that happen at the Colonial, because the kid was pointing and the mother was walking up, the pointing to his mother leaving. Again. Thank you all for coming on this show. I'm glad I can help. I'm glad I can get the word out. David, maybe Monday, give me a jingle, will you?
I will.
I just want to go over a couple of things with you about other things.
Okay. I look forward to it.
To all, everyone, I do this. I know it upsets people, but it's my show. God bless.
God bless you.
And
God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone. And I didn't mean to take your part, Campbell. I apologize. I didn't do it as well. But I say it at the close of every show. God bless. And today, make it a point to lift somebody up, to help somebody, to let somebody go ahead of you in line. It'll make you feel better. You see, we're all in this together. We have to help each other. And if we don't, that's a tough world. That's all I can say. To all of you, thank you so much. I hope it was worth your investment and time.
Absolutely. And, thank you.
And if
thank you so much.
If you see me down there, I got a call first. I got a call. Corey's put a restraining order on me going in because of the caroling. He's afraid I'll sing. But seriously, please, everyone, I hope I see you at a performance of A Christmas Carol. To everyone, be well. To my listeners and viewers, see you soon. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.